Welcome, everybody. This is BNP Weekly episode 116, so 116. It is 1st of March 2021, and like Waldeck was just saying, it's less than 300 days to Christmas.
Woohoo!
So, we're still, at least in Helsinki, we're still waiting for all the snow to melt away. So, and it doesn't look good. So, it is what it is. Anyway, so in the BNP Weekly, so it's almost like Christmas still. In the BNP Weekly, we talk about the latest in Microsoft 365 platform, the latest news from Microsoft and also from the community. And then we typically have a visitor. Before we go there, Waldeck, can you do a quick intro to who you are? I didn't actually introduce myself. So.
Well, so I thought that this time around you wanted to do it differently. So I will start, and then we'll introduce our guests. Like, it only shows the amount of prep that we put into this.
Correct, absolutely.
So my name is Valik Mastigash, and I'm Cloud Developer Advocate for Microsoft 365 at Microsoft. And today with me as a co-host.
you are
a co-host today.
Yes. My name is Esa Juvonen. I'm a program manager in the Microsoft 365 platform areas as well. And with us today as a visitor, we have Shao Mendes. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, guys.
You're calling in from Portugal, right?
Yes, I'm living in Porto, Portugal. It's north of Portugal. Yes.
and what do you do for a living?
Well, I'm a software developer. I'm working for Storm Technologies since October the last year. And I create things. I create applications, beautiful applications. I try to build something util. And I help my company to create custom solutions and custom products for their clients. That's me. I'm 55 years old. I'm a father. I'm a grandfather. And I love coding.
And you mentioned there a very important thing. You make beautiful apps, because that is like, to me, like every single time you put out something out there on Twitter in samples, it looks so, so awesome. It's polished. It's like every time I see it, I'm like, is he taking screenshots of SharePoint or Outlook? No, like it's a new thing he has built, and it looks like as if it belonged in product. How do you do it?
Yes.
How do you manage to make things look so awesome?
Yes, yes. Let tell me my concern when I think to build something. Well, only for just trying or to learning, because I learning building some things, right? And I love to share it with others. And I'm more than happy that someone get it useful for their work. The first thought is how I will do it, how I can integrate in the Microsoft 365 ecosystems and looks like a native app on Microsoft. And I know what the products are using on the Microsoft 365 to create their own apps. I used Master if possible the Fluent UI framework to get the same look and feel. And sometimes I'm inspired on some design sites and design look and feel. My first concern is the design after the UX. And I'm trying to keep the things simple, and make the things simple is a lot of work. It's a lot of tries, sometimes I have to call my daughter and hey, Leonor, she calls Leonor. Look this. What are you feeling? What you see? Yeah, and get the inputs and improve. This is
because exactly like you say, like I'm trying to use Fluent UI, and I try to make things simple, and they never look as like not even near things you make. Like, they are always misaligned. Like there's always like it just doesn't feel right. And it's like that everything you make, it's just like it just as if it was meant to look exactly that. So, like, once again, compliments, like really, really, respect to your work. It looks really awesome.
It's really good.
Well, this is, I think, along these years, I have a long career on the IT, and I think it's never before it was easy to build something than today, because you have a lot of tools that help you to create beautiful things and quickly prototype and quickly development applications. You have the Fluent UI framework with a lot of components that you must know, you must custom some styles, some properties, you quickly develop one application. And now you have MGT Toolkit. This is the simple way to create fantastic applications, right? Yeah. I start using some components of MGT Toolkit, and you have SPFX to create and the glue. It's a glue of all the components and to create your applications.
And just to clarify, MGT being the Microsoft Toolkit for those who are not familiar with that term, but indeed that's a really easy way of having then UX pieces, bits and pieces glued together, and SPFX just being the hosting guidance on doing that. Now, related on the Fluent and Fabric and all of that reference, how did you get familiar with Fluent and Fabric? What would be your kind of a, let's say, tips on for other people building beautiful looking reports?
Well, first I'm trying to see and to find what components that the native apps use, right? Yeah. I'm trying to find on the Fluent UI framework the controls, the styles, and trying to use in to create the apps. And the visual UI, well, this is my vision, what is the application will look like, but the Fluent UI is the key to create beautiful components. Yes, yeah. Of course.
Mm-hmm. And related on that one, because internally, obviously, in Microsoft, we're making improvements on Fluent and Fabric and the model, but it's gradually heading forward. What is it already in the usable level? Because you can at least create beautiful looking things. Does it still require some level of a advanced knowledge, or is it approachable for anybody to use?
Or maybe let's rephrase it. How could we make it easier for everybody
that's a good
to
question.
Build
exactly. That's a
apps.
Better question. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, you have to get some knowledge of each component that is available on the Fluent UI, because they are components that are a lot of properties, a lot of options for customizing. Right, with the new styling of CSS on JS, you use objects to style components, subcomponents that are the main components are built. We have to have some knowledge of how you use it. Yes, but there is a good documentation about the components. If you follow the samples and to read all documentations, you can easily start using that components.
Then that's something what we'll definitely add on the blog post notes and all of that references on the documentation. And but related on that, I think we have a Fabric tutorial for SPFX as an example, but we don't have a Fluent tutorial. We should update all of that to be up to date. Now, the Fluent is kind of, let's also acknowledge that the Fluent is moving forward so fast that there's quite a few different versions, different packages and all of that stuff. And it might be always slightly difficult to know which of them you would be using. But again, multiple options. And in the long term, we're obviously heading to convergence, so hopefully one set of controls, which makes sense. It's just that it's always a journey in Microsoft, and why is it a journey? Well, we actually talked about this one before we started. So in some level, Microsoft organization can be considered as a startups, and then they have a limited set of resources, and they need to prove that they can provide value, and then they get more resources, and that's why things are not always 100%, let's say, ready to use rather than minimal viable products, and then we keep on evolving them. So natural transition.
On the other side, I think it's also for a big part the culture of experiments. Like you have an idea, but it is just an idea. Like before anybody bets on anything, like you need to have a proof that it will work, right? So you have an idea, you ship something small, yet useful already, and you try to see, will it work? Does it make sense? Do people understand the value it adds, problems it solves? And from there, you can always grow, right? Because otherwise, you will try to boil the ocean, you know, like fix everything at once.
Yeah.
And maybe this is just not the right way, you know? So, yeah. Like, in a way, I get it. But on the other hand, of course, we would like to have everything polished, ready to go from day one, doing everything across every single possible use case you might imagine. But that is just not the reality.
I don't think it's reality for any industry or any company in the IT industry either. Now,
unless you build planes.
Unless you build planes, yes. They have to be.
You don't want to go like, yeah, let's start, let's fly.
And let's do some experiments.
Do we need any more wings, or do we need engines? Do we need two pilots or one? Oh yeah, wheels. Come on, we need to get out of wheels because we need to land at some point, right? It's like, no.
Now, Chao, can you talk about your history? How did you end up in IT, and how did you end up building stuff with Craft Toolkit and a SharePoint framework?
Yeah, yes. I have a long career. I have 32 years of the experience on the IT, right? I start working in 1987 on the IBM platform, creating applications, business applications on the AS400 with COBOL, RPG, DB2. I stayed there for 16 years. After I moved to one of the biggest company, retail company on Portugal, I worked more or less 16 years. I had a Z career on that. I played some roles, some different roles from system manager, database administrator, project manager. But I never stopped to be a developer, right? And I started working with SharePoint in 2009, with SharePoint 2010. My first project was implementing a document management system, right? After internet and after start coding little things in JavaScript for easy custom needs. Well, and stay on the platform. And a few years ago, I decided to do what I love to do. That is create things, coding.
Yeah. Awesome.
And then you ended up being a kind of a more developer. What about SharePoint framework and that side? How did you get excited on that?
Yes, this is for me is my tool, right? This is my tool. Yep. I started with SPFX on the beginning, on the first day, right? Yep. I started working with SPFX. This is my tool. I think this is flexible. That is the tool that I use to create apps to Microsoft 365 ecosystem. Yeah. I would like to see more features. I know that comes more features. I know that. Yeah. I'm looking forward for them. Right? But SPFX is my tool. Is the best tool to create applications to the Microsoft 365 ecosystems. Right, to create applications for SharePoint, for Teams, for Office, and so on.
You mentioned that you would like to see some more features in SPFX. What are the, I don't know, top two or top three things you would like to see added in SPFX?
Well, create native applications to the Teams, like message extensions, native Teams applications. While I think is something this is missing today, right? But use the SPFX to create some kind of components that can be reusable on the, for example, Power Apps. You can create components or some kind of components that can be used on Power Apps. More flexibility to custom list forms, for example. Now, this is the my concerns, my thoughts of the features that will be is nice to have on SPFX.
Nice, yeah. Like the ability to build forms on SPFX. I think that one is, I think the first time when SPFX was announced publicly, it was like the first question you got, Vesa, forms.
Pretty much, yes. And funny enough, I think we shared this publicly already many, many years ago. So we had the first dev kitchen for SharePoint Framework in 2016, January. And the first hands-on lab was about custom lists and custom forms. But then as part of the release, which happened on February 23rd, because now I just added a note, we had the 4 years summary last week. We actually pulled that feature away because we didn't want to promote the form extensibility due to numerous internal reasons. And then now we're planning to get it back. It's still not yet fully funded to be done, but it's in the close, let's say, backend roadmap. So it certainly will happen. The question is just when. So,
and also how.
And right. I think that, yeah, so, but I think one of the concerns internally for the lists overrided with SPFX has been that people are saying that, well, if we only provide you as support to override the list as a web part, then the developer has to do a lot of work. And that's the internal message. And then all of the developers are saying, yeah, I don't care. I want that.
I can do all of the work.
Yeah. It's not a problem. Yeah,
but I mean, concern is there for a reason, right? Because if you think about the list, like at surface, like it seems very simple. Like you have a list and there are fields and you added them. But there are so many things behind them, like formatting, validation, rules,
column
if
types.
This and that.
Yeah.
Exactly. And on the other hand, if people want to own experience, like basically the same way you would do it in Power Apps, you can build a Power App and replace the whole thing and then you expose only whatever you need. And if there's a new field, well, then you need to update it. Like it comes with the as they say, like with great power comes great responsibility, right? So basically the same thing here. Like you want to own the canvas, here you go. And now you own the canvas with all the pros and cons, right?
And we'll certainly get there sooner or later. Right now, to be fair, if we just the SPFX roadmap a bit, we're prioritizing teams. The 1.12 will come out hopefully within upcoming days, maybe it's fair to say.
Yeah.
Whenever you're watching the video, we had a small delay on that one. And then the Viva connections.
Connections.
Yes. I'm so confused. So many terms. Viva connections. And it had a different term in the past and all of that. But Viva connections.
What is the name of the things that we have shipped?
Is the priority. And that's going to go to beta relatively soon as well. We're now talking more weeks. So we'll basically release a new version of SPFX after the 1.12, which will then include stuff for Viva for beta usage. And then that will also expose then the Viva connections to be used by customers. And Viva connections basically enables the easy way to expose then SharePoint directly natively within Teams. So that's the thinking behind of that. We did have a nice dev kitchen last week on that one. Unfortunately, that was only limited for MVPs and then few partners. So because of NDA, so legal, whatever concerns. So, but pretty soon available. Soon.
Available
but
news
those,
coming soon.
Yes. Yes. As long as we get the details sorted out. Now, okay, that's more than enough around SPFX probably. Now, before we go to the articles, just Shao, you mentioned that you work for Storm Technologies and you're building stuff for the customers. What kind of things are you then building for customers without any customer specific details? But is it the SPFX and solutions as well?
Yes. Basically, on the product I'm working now is a custom solution all developed with SPFX. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Really cool. So then you can use the same set of skills what you do as a hobby for your work, and everybody benefits out of that.
Yes.
And which is really, really kind. And
yes,
it's super crazy to see the growth. We are hitting tens of millions of users using SPFX every single month, which is insane. But it's just proof that it works, which is good.
Yeah,
it's very, very good. It's my tool.
Yes. Yes, and you can certainly use that tool in saying well. So the outputs are just Beautiful. We're going to have a look on those as well. Should we jump to the articles for a while and then come back on the discussion? Let's do that. I will share my screen. But let's start with this one. This one is just a so cool animation. But obviously this week we have Microsoft Ignite. It's kind of, what is it? It's a mini Ignite, Spring Ignite. First time ever it's also being done in spring, because typically Ignite is in autumn. And then in the past, everybody flew to Chicago or Atlanta or Orlando, but now everything is remote, which is
Anaheim or Vegas.
Yeah. Ignite was not in Vegas.
Was it SBC?
Ignite was not in Anaheim either. So Ignite, yeah.
There was SBC, was in, correct. Yes. Oh, I am old. Now I feel old.
Yes.
Tell me the conferences you attended and I will tell you your age.
That's good. First Ignite was in Chicago. Was it in Chicago? No.
No, so actually first one, I was even at the Office Developer Conference in San Jose.
No, I meant First Ignite.
First Ignite? That was in Chicago, I think.
Yeah, that was Chicago. Then it was Atlanta. And then it was Orlando. And now we are remotely, everybody. And everybody can access that. That's the beauty of doing this remotely. So it's not just about the investment of buying the ticket and flying over, but also the time away from family and the work and all of that stuff. So it's actually really great that people can join on these things remotely. So that's happening this week. Please check it out. If you're watching the recording or listening to the podcast after the Ignite, go and check out the recordings. They are all available as well. So really good. Now, some new articles from Microsoft sites. So Jeff Tepper had an article in the Microsoft Teams or Microsoft 365 blog, building better products together with our customers, and which is a big, big, big focus area. So rather than hiding in the Redmond offices or from home and then trying to figure out what customers and partners do, we actually spend a lot of more time on having discussions with partners and customers and collecting the feedback and knowing what they actually need. So addressing those gaps and all of that. And this one also has references for the Microsoft Ignite connections. So there's a product roundtable meetings and all of that. But a really, really big focus area. And there's a lot of big organizations related on research and design, which have a lot of resources in Microsoft for that reason. Now, this one is from John Mikkel, announcing Microsoft 365 multi-geo coverage in Brazil, which is really cool as well. So now there's I think it's the first one in South America, unless I'm completely mistaken. So you can really build multi-geo operations. Just quickly scanning through. Yes, it is the first one in South America. Yes, it is. Really, really cool. Manage and deploy Microsoft 365 apps from partners in Microsoft 365 Admin Center. So this is more information around this one. I think it was in preview before this. Now it's heading to GA probably. And you can actually build this kind of integrated applications, which are including SharePoint and Office clients. And then you can deploy centrally from the central admin. So really cool setup as well. And you can manage them more efficiently directly from the central admin. So really, really cool. And related on that one, there's some sessions next week in Ignite. So functionalities and details, how this all of this stuff actually is working. Your guide to Microsoft Teams in Spring Ignite 2021. So the Teams is obviously a big, big, big focus area in Ignite. And there's quite a few cool sessions for multiple people. So Jared always has the primary, let's say, marketing messaging story. The latest innovation from Nicole, that's definitely an interesting session to check out as well. And then additional details around security and remote work. Yeah. So really, really good set of sessions coming there as well. And all of this is available from the Ignite session brochure, and you can absolutely watch all of this afterwards as well. Now, this one is interesting. So manage meeting availability of Microsoft Teams panels. Our first reaction was, what is Microsoft Teams panel? But then there is luckily a good video where the panel is in the wall, and especially at least in Redmond, we had all of this in every single office meeting room. So you can then really easily book the room directly from the standpoint. It's quite convenient. Well, obviously right now nobody is at the Redmond office, so it's not that useful. But sooner or later, I think it will be highly usable again. So moving on, things. So Microsoft 365 BMP block. Do you want to do a quick intro as well, Declan? What is this section all about?
Absolutely. So end of January, we have launched a new hub on tech community where we basically want to create a place for everybody who wants to build on Microsoft 365 to be able to learn what's available, what's possible, and how you can start. And with that, we have basically two areas. We have a blog where we share new articles together with MVPs, basically explaining what's available, what can you do, share tips and tricks and ideas to help you get started. And then another area are discussions where you can ask things if you're stuck, where you can share things you're working on to inspire others, and where basically people share their experience and ideas.
Yeah. And then most likely people might be thinking, and wait, so what's the difference between the existing SharePoint discussions or Teams discussion or Office 365 discussion? Why are we introducing yet another one?
So the key area is that over time, we realized that when we build things today, they often spend products that we offer internally, right? So you might build an SPFX web part that is connecting to API on Azure, that's connected to Graph, and that also sends things to Teams, right? So if you're stuck in any of these areas, well, then you might need to ask your question maybe with the AAD team for access or Teams team to things about Teams, right? So with that, we want to offer you a single place to go to, because often when you start, you might not even know, like, are you stuck exactly on Teams or are you stuck in Graph or are you stuck, maybe you just don't even know where to start. So we want to offer you a single place where you can go to and ask things. If there are resources available in other areas, we will give you the links. If we know of somebody who might know, we will try to either bring them in or point you to the right place to go to. So this is meant as a single place for anybody who wants to build something on Microsoft 365 to start.
Yep.
Yes.
That's and making it easier definitely is the objective, exactly, rather than making it more complex by introducing something new. And then also making sure that the MVPs can get their blog post and volunteer to do here, cross-posting potentially from their blogs if they want, and we can promote the articles which are getting promoted in here or released here. Now, we're looking into potentially even moving our BMP weekly and the community call notes in here starting actually next week, potentially. So we'll see. So.
Depending when you watch this video or heard the recording, we might already been on it.
Exactly. So, but yeah, a lot of new articles here as well from Louis Stormtree 30.
It's interesting that here we see the usernames and not the display names. But yeah, as you can see, we have new articles. We have, I think, 5 or 6 articles from the last week already, or targeted towards
7,
helping you to understand what's available. So, yeah, we will definitely encourage you to check them out.
Yep, absolutely. Now, on the Microsoft 365 developer blog, there was a Microsoft Graph mailbag, intro to Microsoft 365, Microsoft Graph, and top 5 API requests. So most widely used API requests on the Graph side. So good summary on getting some insights on what people are using. And as expected, presence, user information,
user info,
So and recent files, absolutely understandable. Most widely used things. Send notification to user to Teams. This is actually interesting that that's number 5.
That is, well, I can imagine why, the volume.
Sure.
Right? Because if you have an app, it might post a lot of things to a lot of users, right? So it will. So the API itself is pretty new, but because of its character, it could be that it already gets the usage.
Yep, absolutely. Good point. Cool. You also had a new release of CLI, Waldeck.
Correct. So the last week following our monthly releases, we had new version 3.6.5. And in there, we have a lot of improvements because I think we're currently now at a stage that CLI existed for over 3 years. And over the course of years, we accumulated a number of things that over time, you just learn that we need to adjust to improve them, simplify them, and so forth and so on. So a bulk of work went into improvements. And one of the most important one is the new ability to authenticate. So now we allow you to connect with CLI to Microsoft 365 within the browser auth. So when you authenticate, we will open a new page in which you can authenticate. And that is really important for everybody who uses the, let's say, the more advanced features in AAD, right? So if your company has really advanced, additional access, it's not commodity. Not everybody has it implemented.
Sure.
But that aside, we also have new commands for managing Power Apps, managing SharePoint pages. So we will definitely encourage you to check it out. It's the one CLI, one command line tool to help you to manage all of your M365 tenants and SharePoint framework project.
Are you using CLI or PowerShell?
Yes. Yes. For deployment, my first tool is Microsoft CLI because I'm a Mac user, and my first option goes to Microsoft CLI. But I used to PowerShell when I want to create templates for provision. Well, now we have it running on Mac with the PowerShell core, right?
Yeah.
But I use many times on my day Microsoft CLI to deploy apps and to give permission, app permissions, and so on. It's a great tool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Thank you.
And it's actually, I still remember, it's kind of funny. Well, not funny, but it's, why does the CLI exist? Obviously, there's multiple reasons, but I was actually hiring Waldeck to write some of the SPFX docs, and then he was assigned to write the docs related on enabling CDN and then optimizing the SharePoint framework web parts experiences. But as Waldeck has a Mac, he wouldn't be able to do that because that required a PowerShell. So
yeah,
and the only and
again, is we're talking here about October 2019.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, back then PowerShell worked only on Windows, so every single time I would get new tenant, start VM, I'm like, there has to be a better way. So
I remember that times. You start building the Microsoft CLI.
Yeah. So there is this great thing CDN, and you can enable it only on Windows. Like. Really?
Yeah. Well, now we have a CLI. So solution, gap addressed. Now, this one is really cool as well from last week. It actually got much more attention from my tweets than the official ones, but it doesn't really matter. But it's now 4 years since the SharePoint framework was released or went to the GA, which is pretty cool. So 23rd of February 2017, and now it's being used by tens of millions. The third-party SPFX components are being used tens of millions of users worldwide in every single month, which is pretty insane.
Awesome.
So the growth has been quite significant. And obviously, some of the teasers here are related on the Viva connections and how we will be prioritizing Viva connections and the Teams experiences in the upcoming releases. So more and more focus on that one, which is really, really cool. It's good to see the whole team there as well. And you can see almost my hand over there. So,
yes, you're there virtually present.
My manager at the time, Dan Kokan, really was sure that I will get to the picture as well. So that was like 11 p.m. on my time after all of the delays when we got it released.
It's cool to see that after all these years, like it still gets a lot of attention, a lot of investment, and there are more improvements coming soon. So this is really great because the one thing, and that was, maybe that is the one thing that we can share from Dev Kitchen, and I'm here, like, I think, threading on
thin
ice.
Yes.
But like
we will beat this out. Exactly.
Like we can cut it, right? So there were also folks who haven't built anything in SPFX yet. So it was new to them. Like they're coming from a web dev background.
Yeah.
And they said, frankly, they could use it using the experience that they had already in the past from non-SPFX, non-Microsoft tech. They could use SPFX and build things within days, right? Because the application was three days, right?
3 days.
So they had 3 days to learn and build, and they could do it. So I think it's only a testament to the fact that it's intuitive. Like yes. People who know web dev can build things on SPFX on Microsoft 365. So I think this yes. is really great and definitely proves the point that it makes sense to keep investing in this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the usage is growing so much. It's just millions and millions more usage from July until this moment, because fiscal years are always from July in Microsoft. So it's good to see the focus. And the Viva connection is expected to grow that even more. Now, what do we have then here? Now, this one is from Shao, your side. I wanted to put you on the spot. What is your favorite web part which you contributed on the samples? Because there's actually quite a few of them.
Yeah.
And they are all really, really, really nice looking. Anyone which is your preference?
Well, more than one, but the personal apps is my favorite.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's bring it up. Again, the image. Show the image.
Absolutely. So this one in here.
Yeah. I think it's flexible. The user can define your own links for own apps. It's personal. Yeah.
Exactly.
This is one of my favorite apps.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. And again, like the way it looks like. It's polished. There is editing experience. There is view. It supports theming. It's properly aligned. It just feels as a part of product.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes.
And behind the scenes, it seems to be using, is this the BMP? No, this is not BMP control. This is advanced.
No.
You implemented your own.
not really. This table is a material wide table. That is, I customized with the CSS to the look and feel of the Microsoft 365. Yeah.
Really cool.
Perfect.
This is
looks really awesome.
And it works in Microsoft Teams as well as a personal application natively, which is not a bad idea, actually, to have a customizable set of links easily available in the left menu to forward going
and
forward.
And then, so with the ability, like, I don't know if you recall it, like in Teams, you have this ability to react to clicking on an app in the rail to show. So you could expand the panel to show it immediately there as opposed to take over the whole.
True. That is a good idea.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Right.
Really cool. Awesome stuff. Absolutely. And easily, you can, for those who are not familiar with all of this, so if you go to the AKMS SPFX webparts, you can actually get to our sample gallery, which will be unified sample gallery later this spring. But you can easily find all of the show's samples as an example from here.
Well,
there's a lot of them.
The community is a big knowledge center that what I give from the communities is more than I can give you to it, because you have access a lot of knowledge, a lot of information that the people are sharing. And this is possible because we have a great core team that motivate, that organize, that keep the guys contributing to the community.
Yeah.
And thank you for all the motivation. For me, it's important that see that what I do is useful for someone.
Yeah.
Or someone use it to start something. This is the spirit and motivate me to still contribute, because as you know that all this work is done on my free time. I have my hobby is coding. Well, and I'm more than glad to contribute and see that it's useful for someone. Thanks.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you, Shara. And it's certainly, I think it's hobby in your case, it's a hobby. And for Waldex, the CLI, is a hobby for him. And having this kind of, that was sort of the whole mental mindset of BNB from a day one has been that let's just have a one centralized location so everybody knows what's happening. And we can facilitate that sharing. And then everybody can benefit, creating those win-win-win cases so that we promote the people who contribute and help them to contribute back on the community as well. So, but helping people to succeed. I think always a good way of approaching this. There are quite significant cultural differences related on this thinking. So depending again on a culture, but I think we are, well, the usage is growing, the mental mindset is growing, open source is growing, people are contributing more and more, which is absolutely brilliant because everybody will benefit. So
Yeah.
But now coming back, thank you, Xiao, on those comments. And then in here, the name, the same name. What is the right term in English? The name. There is name? A name you're saying.
The same name for
same
the
name.
Same name.
Xiao yeah. Ferreira. No, but there's a term in English. I'm just trying to memorize that.
João.
Yeah. No. But anyway,
Xiao Ferreira. I'm trying to understand like what you're aiming at. Like two people who share the same name.
Yes, the first name.
What is that in English? It's a popular name in Portugal, João.
Yeah.
English is John in English.
Oh, it's a similar as John. Okay.
Yeah, John. Yes.
Wow.
Yes, same.
Anyway, Xiao Ferreira has been doing a lot of on the Microsoft lists, which has a lot of growth in the usage as well. People are clearly liking the Microsoft lists and how to do extensibility in here. The list formatting is one of the most widely accessed documentation actually in the docs on Microsoft.com, which is really, really cool. But this is really around making the videos to have a nice preview when those are being exposed or listed in a SharePoint list, so or Microsoft list, not SharePoint list. There's no such thing. Yeah. Behind of the scenes. So, where was it? Sorry.
Yeah, the meme. Joke.
Yeah. So this one was so good.
It's all SharePoint.
So where is it? This one.
This one. Yeah.
Yeah. So
always happens.
Anyway,
I mean, it makes sense, right? It makes sense. And I think we talked about it a while back with somebody. Like, why was something built in SharePoint? Like, I think it was when originally lists were announced. Like, why are lists built on SharePoint lists as opposed to, you know, let's build a brand new thing on Azure? Well, there are a number of things that you get in SharePoint for free. And these are the things that people don't even think about. Like, permission, access management, governance, records management. Like
compliance, all of this
backup.
Yeah.
Like you get all of that for free. Whereas if you want to build something like that from scratch, well, you need to build these things too, because Microsoft 365 as a whole needs to meet all these governance policies, regulations, and laws, and so forth and so on. So you cannot just build a table with grid and it's it. No. You have to have everything else as well. And at that point, it kind of starts to make sense, like, hey, how about we reuse something that we already have as opposed to spending 5 years building something new? We'll probably end up being exactly the same thing.
Yeah, true. Absolutely. Now, moving on the I can't talk anymore. Monday morning articles. So Leon Armstrong had a really cool article created content underground lines that is bot using Power Virtual Agents and Azure Management API Dataverse for Teams. And basically, he had this list formatting for tracking the London Underground line status, and now this is getting that to even further level. So that's the list formatting thing, but then heading that to a level where you can actually have a discussion and notifications related on all of that stuff and updating that. So all of this is evolving forward. It's a really cool scenario for sure.
And
super important, especially in London, to understand how the public transportation actually works and which of them are closed and which are not. So. Cute. In here from Paul Bullock, how to see the documentation for classic BMP PowerShell. A super important thing to understand, BMP PowerShell has a really, really detailed documentation directly in the PowerShell commandlet notes. So whenever you do get help and the BMP PowerShell, you'll have all of the same document details as what we have or had in the docs as a documentation. So you don't actually need to worry about, hey, I can't access the information. No, you can. Just use to get help And then you have all of the same information available and exposed in the PowerShell, which is really, really cool. And then in here, we have a good article from Laura Kokarinen relating to forcing an Azure function to process queue storage messages one at a time. So really focusing on the Azure function configuration. Why would you do this? Well, there might be actually a scenarios where this is needed, where the concurrency is a problem. So you want to process the ones and the items one by one, and there's a settings for that one. So you can actually batch size, I think, is the setting, unless I'm completely mistaken. Yes, it is actually. So cool. Paolo had a new video related on creating Teams messaging extensions with your Teams version 3. So what do you actually get there, how to get started, and how to build those things. He's using PMP PowerShell, but then he's running your Teams. That's a confusing setup. So but doesn't really matter. So as long as you have a shell window.
PMP PowerShell image in the background.
Shell. Yes, exactly.
Exactly.
Just to be clear on that, PMP PowerShell in this process doesn't really mean a thing.
Anything.
Yeah.
No, it's just an image in a background.
Exactly. And then there was a good discussion with around the compliance conversation with John Klein, with Sarah Haas, and then the typical crew in here. So Mike and
Antonio.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Thank you. So good discussion related on that. And then Joanna Klein talking is the specialist related on that. I think, did she move the Microsoft or is she aware?
No, that was Erica Tully.
No, but there was something, maybe she's then a vendor status or working together with Microsoft in certain areas. But again, so I know that Erica moved to Microsoft as well.
Yep.
Congratulations, by the way, on that. Now, jumping on from one topic to another. So this one, latest Microsoft 365 developer podcast, CLI for Microsoft 365 in Azure DevOps with Yannick Rickman. Yannick has been actually writing documentation for this and helping to make these things happen. He was actually in the PMP week a few weeks back, months back,
there
a while back.
Yes.
Yeah. So talking about the same thing as well. So, but really, really cool to automate operations for DevOps with CLI. And Power Apps Twitter Bird Cloud. So basically how to create that kind of a bird cloud in Power Apps from Todd Baginski.
Yeah.
Yes. Teabag. It is his nickname from the years back. So, but really cool stuff as well. Absolutely. Anyway, I think that's more than enough from our articles. So let's actually come in here. Anything interesting on the discussions for this week, except for the Ignite?
João.
Well. This week, well, I'm working on the project for the client. It's the final sprint to get the project done. Well, this is my focus is on that, and I want to see if I have some time to get sections of the Ignite. Yeah. And to see what is coming.
Cool.
What about you, Waldeck? What's on your table?
So I know I said it the last time too, but back then I realized that I'm mixed up the weeks. So the last time we had a show last week, I said that we will have iTeam has a whole week available to do a hack. Well, that week is now, not then.
Ooh. Okay.
Exactly. So we carved out some time to basically eat our own dog food and build apps on 365 and learn, basically experience firsthand what our developers come across, where can we improve, how our tooling looks like, and so forth and so on. So I will be building bots. At least that is the plan. I have very big ambitions to the point where I was like, I'd like the bot to do that. I don't even know if I will be able to do that because I don't know if all APIs are available to that. So fingers crossed, and I will definitely share what I've built, what I learned. You can expect, bearing time in mind, articles, maybe more. But first things first, I want to be able to do it. So
yes, exactly. Exactly.
I'll be waiting for.
Excellent. Excellent.
Those are really good to have some time to actually play around with the technology and learning things. Now, I have to say, from last week, we had the Dev Kitchen for Viva Connections. And I do apologize. We were unable to get everybody in. It was only for a limited group of people, but still 200 people signed up and 60 companies. But what one of the examples in there was Alex Terentiev from SharePointalist, who basically had booked 3 days in a hotel so he could actually concentrate on building stuff on DevKit. And that's a really great idea. Yeah. So taking time away from the home, DevKitchens in a classic sense were always that everybody flies to Redmond and then we work in a auditorium and build stuff together and then people demonstrate what they'd actually built. But now that we're remote, it's different. And Alex took the route of, hey, you kind of just book a hotel, stay there 3 days.
I'm going to fly to Redmond.
And do some development. But his stuff was just super impressive. So it's like, wow. So
yes.
Good way of handling the remote option if you have the option of doing that. So not obviously, customer cases, family, everything else, super important. It's not like everybody can do those kind of things, but that was really impressive. Now, on my side, we're finalizing the SharePoint Framework 1.12. Now it looks, we had one hiccup there. It's coming out, I promise. I can't say when, but still. So we're
Wednesday.
Still testing. A Thursday, probably. Maybe a Tuesday.
So basically, have the whole week except weekend and Monday and Friday.
Yes. You don't want to ship on Friday, and Monday is not a smart thing either. So anyway, but that's really the focus area, and obviously following up on what's happening in Ignite, all of that stuff, and then we need to do still summary on the learnings from Dev Kitchen last week. So, and again, we'll have more information on the Viva Connections as soon as possible, as soon as we can. It's more information coming soon. But that's pretty much for now for this week. So thank you, Xiao, this great discussion and your absolutely mind-blowing contributions for the community. Those are so valuable for everybody to take advantage and to learn how to build similar kind of stuff. So thank you for those.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me. And thank you for all the support, all motivation. I'm a fan of yours. And I'm...
Likewise.
As possible. I'm keeping to focus on contributing for this amazing community that is the PNP. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Cheryl. And for those who are watching and listening, we'll be back within a week. So bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.